All right, let's bring in John Audius with Badger Volleyball. And I want to get to Badger Volleyball. They have a lot going on, but I'd be remiss if I didn't bring up the Badger women's basketball team and the success they're having on the court. And I think if you don't mind, kind of introduce us to Badger women's basketball and tell us what they've been doing so far and why they're just so much, seems like they're playing more cohesive and just a better energized team this year.
They are way more cohesive. They are one unit. I love that they have so many more options offensively. You know, last season it was one player who was probably the best player I've seen come through the program in my time, in Sarah Williams. But they're a better team this season. They have more players that can put the ball through the bottom of the net. I really, really like this team, guys. Like, if you haven't gotten – I think the Big Ten better be on alert – and I don't mean that in a sense that I don't know if they can compete with the UCLAs of the world, but I think they're going to surprise a lot of people, and they already have with one Big Ten win. I'm super excited, and I'm super bullish on this season for Wisconsin basketball.
John, pulling back the curtain a little bit too, getting to talk to Robin Pinchton, the new head coach, and the conversations that you've had with her, the things that she shared, her philosophy, all that for, again, to introduce Badger fans here on the Jump Around, a little bit more insight about women's basketball. Tell us a little bit about Robin Pinchton and what you know about her.
You know, what I know about her so far is she's kind of a no-nonsense type of coach. She's a coach that stresses the importance of hard work. She's a coach that stresses the importance of family, of faith, of basketball. And she's also somebody who has gotten this team to become one unit quicker than I've ever seen. They have this we over me mentality that, you know, nothing's more important than the front of your jersey. Doesn't matter what it says on the back of your jersey. It's the front of the jersey that matters. And it shows, you know, on the court with the way they play. It shows, I think, I don't know if you guys know this, but during starting lineups, they don't do a starting five. They introduce Wisconsin as one unit. And that's something that she asked the team, like, do you guys have any interest in this? I think the Patriots did it a while ago, and the whole team was like, yes, we want to do this. And so it's really cool to see them come out as one unit. I love that. And if you ever watch them after win and you've seen some of these post-game interviews, the entire team joins. Like last game against Michigan State, the win over Michigan State, Gift Uchenna was the person being interviewed, but the whole team was behind her, and they've done that several times. And I love that team unity. And I think that's something that team unity, that we versus me, this is something that as they get better, here's the thing, guys, I think, I mean, they have a lot of room to improve, and they're really good right now. And I think this attitude or this mantra, this mindset of team first is only going to help as they get deeper and deeper in the Big Ten season.
Moving to the volleyball side of things, they have a big match coming up against Stanford, but they haven't lost a set so far in the tournament. This is a team that has really come on as of late. John, what do you think the biggest difference has been that's made this team start cooking again?
It's been Charlie Furbringer coming back. You know, since she's been back, they've lost one match with her as the starting setter. And that's not to take anything away from Addie Horner, who was a freshman backing up Charlie in her first match, was at Penn State, a place where Wisconsin as a program in history has won three times. She also faced Nebraska, a team that hasn't lost. So this is nothing to take away from Addie Horner, but I think it's Charlie Furbringer. And I think you saw right away in her first match back, just the timing and just being in sync, especially with somebody like Carter Booth, who's just, she is finishing at the very best. You know, she has ascended right at the very end of her career. It's really fun to watch her, just how dominating she's been. She hasn't had a hitting error her last three matches, but it's been Charlie, and it's been her ability to find Carter. You know, that's the thing. Like, if you're a really good setter, you can find your middle blockers when you don't necessarily, you know, when you're in system, it's easy to find a middle blocker. The defense has to be like, okay, where are they going with the ball? But when you're out of system, Charlie has this ability to get the ball where the defense doesn't expect it to be. And I think it's been Furbringer. I think it's been their offense, which is on pace to set a school record for hitting percentage. So, and it's been Mimi Collier as well. I mean, I can't believe, if you had asked me at the start of the season, you know, what's a good year for Mimi Collier? I would say, well, okay, the school record is 4.5 kills per set from Sarah Franken last year. And I don't know if anyone's going to touch that. Like, can she get to about 4 kills per set? And I would have said, like, that's a great season. Mm-hmm. She's shattered that. She's up over 5.3, which is just crazy, crazy.
Was Charlie's first game back, was that Illinois? I believe so. I think I didn't mean to put you on the spot with that one. Yeah, but yeah. I felt like I was at that game and everyone was surprised.
Yeah, actually, Indiana.
That she,
Indiana? It was an okay. Indiana Sunday match, I believe.
Yeah,
she broke the news to me, by the way, which was awesome because I was like, how are you coming? Are things going well with your, coming back on the court? She's like, I'm playing today. So, yeah, it was Indiana.
Yeah, so perfect. I was at that game. Then I guess I got the teams mixed up, the eyes mixed up with the game I was at. I was watching her, and it honestly gave me a vibe of, like, John Stockton-type point guard. And just trying to explain it to those who watch volleyball, but I don't know enough about volleyball to have a real strong opinion about what's going right or wrong or who's doing well outside of, like, just watching it as a fan, which is fun. So I put it in sports that I normally watch sort of way, and Charlie feels like a point guard that just sets everyone else up to be at their absolute best. Is that a fair way to describe what the secret to her sauce is?
Yeah, that's funny. Most of the time, Kelly will describe setters as the quarterbacks of the team. So maybe a football analogy I've never really thought about from the basketball point guard analogy. Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, John Stockton, solid. He can, score or keep the defense on their toes if needed. So can Charlie. She obviously distributes the ball well to her teammates and puts them in the best. And that's the thing. Like, as a setter, Charlie has this ability not only to get the ball to somebody that maybe the defense isn't expecting, but then, Kelly describes her as one of the best back row setters in the country. So when we've got Mimi Collier flying in from the back row, that ball needs to be precise. You know what I mean? Like, everything needs to be in sync when you're taking a big leap from the 10-foot line, from behind the 10-foot line. So, yeah, I like that, putting everybody in their best positions, getting the ball exactly where they need to get the ball to be successful.
Maybe I just thought it because it looks like a boatload of alley-oops out there. Man. So maybe that's why basketball came to mind.
It's really fun. It's really fun getting to watch him do that. John, I wanted to build off of what Jim Polzin had said, too, with going to Mimi Collier, saying that she had the exact type, or feels like the exact type of impact that Russell Wilson, John Tanjay had in just a 1 year. From your perspective, getting to know her, too, because I agree, Mimi's an awesome person, too. She's so phenomenal. She is so cool to get to know, and how much she's embraced being at Wisconsin just for this 1 year and 1 year alone and just enjoying the ride every single way. What's your perspective on how much she's embraced Wisconsin and vice versa, how much fans have embraced her?
Yeah, I mean, she's been embraced by the fans, by the young fans. You know, I have a young daughter and everybody loves Charlie and Mimi, and just to be able to do that in one season. And, Russell Wilson, I was covering that Badger football team, doing the pregame and some postgame stuff, and it was obvious, how much he meant to the team and just the impact he had. And that's the same thing with Mimi. Without Mimi Collier, she does so many things. Not only can she terminate in so many ways, especially out of the backcourt, but then that brings, Kelly constructs the offense around the pieces that he has. He doesn't try to fit the pieces into what he wants. He's like, well, she's really good out of the back row, so we're going to have a bunch of swings out of the back row. And they've got a lot of players to do that. So not only does she provide the Badgers with offense. She's only had one match this season under 10 kills. She's had 17 in a row in double figures since that match, which is second all time in a single season. Talk about the record books with kills, and she needs 21 kills in the match on Friday, or perhaps 21 total through the next two matches if Wisconsin wins, to set the all-time school record in 25-point rally scoring. But she also takes pressure off of the other Badger attackers, in the middle. So now everybody knows we got to stop Mimi Collier, and nobody can. And then all of a sudden you've got Grace Egan opened up for a shot, or Carter Booth or something. It just opens up the entire offense when Mimi's on the court. So she impacts it in not only what she does, but, just the ability to get her teammates better attempts.
The Badgers have Stanford coming up. What is that? What are we looking at there? What's the matchup? Like, what are the Badgers' chances?
Wisconsin's never beaten Stanford. But, that's history. That's not now. But just keep that in mind. I talked to Kelly. I wrote it down here. Hold on. Let me grab this here. I asked him, what's the difference at this type of the season? Because this is the 13th straight regional semifinal for Wisconsin. This is the, if they win, it would be the eighth straight trip to the regional final. You got to serve aggressively. You have to defend their primary shots, and you have to have the ability to get them out of system. If we start seeing those things, if Stanford is hitting around that 230, 240, 250 mark, and Wisconsin is doing what Wisconsin's done this season offensively, that's a good sign for the Badgers. But, you know, Stanford has a lot of great attackers on their side. The one key, one of the keys, I think, might be, although Kelly says that the level of play doesn't drop off when Stanford does this, but they have their backup setter got them into the Sweet 16. Their primary setter didn't play, and she's had some health issues. Don't know exactly the health issues. Kelly said a head injury. I'm guessing some sort of concussion protocol or something like that, but I don't know. But it's the setting. You know, that intrigues me the most. Who's going to be out there setting for them? Now, Kelly says the difference doesn't drop off, but I would think if you can face a backup setter, that's got to give you some sort of leg up. So I would say those things that Kelly told me, and then we'll just see who Stanford puts out there at setter.
John, excited to hear you on the call on 100.5 and also on the ESPN Wisconsin app for the games. Just whether you're here in Madison or not, I mean, I know you're probably enjoying yourself in the warm weather in Austin, but either way, this time of year, getting to call these games at this level at this time of the year, how exciting is it? What gets you amped up the most about this time of the season?
It's just the importance of it, and it's, you know, win or go home. It's that mentality, and there's nothing better than it. And you know, I was thinking about the 13 straight Sweet 16s. When I first started calling volleyball games, you know, the joke around the radio station was I was the jinx because they had gotten to the tournament for so many seasons in 2008, 2009, 2010, 2011, 2012, no tournament. And then to have 13 straight Sweet 16s, it's pretty fun to be able to be in those moments, to have seven straight Elite Eights, to have five Final Fours, to have a national championship and call three national championships. Like, you know, this is a very rare thing that's been happening over the last decade plus at Wisconsin. So I try not to take it for granted. I try to enjoy the moment as best as I can and just get excited because this is what you play for. You know what I mean? Like, you can have a great regular season. That's awesome, winning Big Ten titles. It's fantastic. But people really remember what happens in the postseason. And that to me is the most exciting time of any sport, is the postseason. I mean, that's why you're playing the game, to win the whole thing. Right. So yeah, I'm super jacked when it comes to these type of atmospheres. And I try not to take it for granted to be able to be in this atmosphere.
Well, as Pablo said, you can listen to the game on the ESPN Wisconsin app and on ESPN Madison here in Madison. Also, we have the announcer cam on ESPN Madison's YouTube stream with John on it.
We don't have a postseason. No, okay, announcer cam in postseason, unfortunately.
Yeah. My bad.
Go to the app then,
and you can listen to it.
Or listen on 100.5.
Or listen on 100.5 ESPN. John, thank you so much for the time.
Thanks, guys.